Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line Podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line Podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur. We're going to jump right off into this thing, an emergency situation running across Mississippi and parts of Tennessee and Northeast Arkansas today. Josh Webb, you jump right in here and tell us what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's the milk and bread crisis of pre-Thanksgiving 2018. I mean, it's just, it caught a lot of people off guard. A lot of people didn't take it serious. And you know, now there's people that you know, had to get up and go to work this morning instead of actually going and getting milk and bread. And people are really struggling. It's going to be a catastrophe is what it's going to amount to.
I saw a flurry here in Oxford.
Oh yeah, I got caught by one taking the trash out to the street this morning, and it crippled me. It took me to my knees. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't, I'm not going to be able to eat a sandwich and drink milk today because I was one of the many who was unprepared for that.
I know that you've been up. As much as you love this weather, you have probably been up since 2 o'clock this morning, flipping back and forth between local news and weather and the Weather Channel itself.
Yeah, I like to compare their thoughts to mine and see if they've figured it out as well as I have.
I bet you've been so desperate. You've been going to that local weather station that on TV that only plays music and shows you like the radar and the regional forecast.
Oh, yeah, and the update on the 8th, man. Come on now, yeah, always. Yeah, that's playing nonstop. That's just background noise. My house is on all the time.
Well, what? On a threat level of 1 to 5 on the Webinator, what threat level are we reaching? Five being the best possible scenario.
Well, like I said, it's a terrible situation because nobody took it serious. Nobody said it's not even Thanksgiving yet. We can't have below freezing temperatures, much less snow. And then they woke up this morning and there was snow on some people's cars. Even in the Mississippi Delta, and they didn't have a choice. I mean, they realized that last night before they went to bed, when they were just laughing about it, that they really should have taken it seriously and gone to Walmart or Piggly Wiggly and bought some milk and bread. Because that's, you know, that's the standard go-to move. And now, I mean, there's people. There were probably, I'm gonna say, 65 to 70% of people will probably be stranded at work because they just don't know how to get back home after going through such a terrible deal. You know,
so
headed into work this morning.
Where is this? Is this a 3 or 2?
It's a 2. It's a 2. Whoa. I mean, it's a 2. I mean, if people could have been a little more prepared, I mean, you know, I come on here and apologize all the time for talking about the weather, but eventually somebody is going to listen to me. You know, and when they do, you know, if people had taken my now years of weather talk on this podcast, they'd have been taking it seriously, they'd have been putting, you know, the clues together, we probably could have come out of this thing at like a four. But
you've only had one, right?
Only one. Yeah, well, that was a rough deal. That was a very rough deal. You know, even year before last, when I was in Colorado, and in a 7-day stretch that we were there, we got 32 inches of snow. Everybody still, the whole entire group from Mississippi, it was 14 of us, we still came out at 3.5. So, you know, you imagine just what it takes to get to a 1. It's nobody's fault but the public. I mean, they just laugh all you want, but it's a serious deal.
Now, coming up in just a minute, Bill Cooksey. Now, Bill and I don't jump in back to his story, but we do, we talk a little bit about opening day, the Mississippi River. I love talking Mississippi River with Bill. It's pretty cool. Hey, I will tell you this, who's at a 1 right now. That's our guy, Nick Marcy. He's up in North Dakota. He said they're going to be ice fishing this weekend. It's gotten so cold and frozen all the water up there. He said he almost started crying on camera in his microphone.
Yeah, I saw that. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Look, I saw that. It was hard to watch. And then, you know, the end is near.
The end is near. It's like this great movie quote. I mean, to the climax of a movie, somebody says the end is near. He uses it in his migration report. He's about crying.
Yeah. He's upset. I mean, I don't know what else to tell him. Sorry, you know. And you know something else that's made this deal even worse? For the public safety aspect of it is there's a lot of people. Arkansas, you know, season opens this weekend. There's a lot of people preparing for opening weekend, and they're looking at Saturday, and they forgot to prepare for Wednesday. And you know, there's gonna be a lot of people. Ooh, this is a tough prediction here. It's a tough one to say out loud. There's going to be a lot of people that have been so caught off guard by this that they are going to either be sick or stranded and not make it to Arkansas for the opener. But I can't, you know, it's on them. I can only give so many warnings.
You know, Bill was talking about that I-40 crossing of the Mississippi River. From 2:00 to 5:00 in the afternoon on Friday, it'll be bumper. He said it'll be bumper to bumper, 18-wheeler and trucks pulling UTVs or boats going across that river.
It will be insane. All the years that we hunted over there, we used to wake up opening morning. We used to wake up 2 hours before we even needed to wake up, and literally go ahead and fix breakfast, make a pot of coffee, and sit on the front porch of our camp over there just to watch the people. So that's the thing. You know, everybody sees this race, these races and stuff happening in the water in boats. What you don't realize is they've been racing since they got up that morning. And that's why we literally used to sit there on the camp house porch and watch people just right up and down the road and passing each other and trucks pulling boats, passing other trucks pulling boats. And it's some years are worse than others. I cannot imagine what it'll be like this year. Yeah, I wish I had some type of business along one of those corridors, either Highway 72 going across North Mississippi or I-40 coming across. I wish I had a business that sold ammunition and decoys stuck right on the side of the highway Friday afternoon, because you could probably not work the rest of the year after that. Because, you know, just stick a big sign up that says, hey, you probably forgot this. And just be selling shotgun shells and decoys. And you could make a mint. Oh, I mean, it would.
You know, yeah, I told Bob the other day, I think with the changes that are, you know, are just a foregone conclusion about what's happening, going to happen in Arkansas next year. Listen, I know that they passed it on to vote on it, but we all know it's going to come about. It's coming. They're going to make the changes. And I think that the out-of-staters in Arkansas are going to get, they think that it's been bad in the past. This is my prediction. I think that the Hoosieritis over in Arkansas is going to be an all-time high this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what do you have to lose?
They are literally going to try to kill every duck on every WMA in Arkansas.
Yeah, that wasn't the best words to use in my term. There's a lot to lose there. But, yes, I agree with you. The mentality is we're going over there. There's no more we're going over there for a good time. We're going over there to fellowship. No, everybody's got their killing boots on when they're going out-of-staters are going to Arkansas this year. They're fishing to go get all they can get for 60 days.
Woo! You're not kidding, man.
And Mother Nature is throwing a bone to them right now. Is setting up cold fronts already at the front, at the first of season. And it excites me for what's going to come, you know, in 2 weeks and a month. And it's going to be we're staring at a good year, period. In Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, I mean, we're staring down a really good year right now. But, yeah, you're exactly right. Hoosieritis is going to be running at an all-time high in Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like your last hoorah comparing it to senioritis when you were senior mm-hmm. in high school. You remember what senioritis was like.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
listen, if Arkansas really, I think that maybe the best thing they could have done is gone on and passed it this year, pulled the Band-Aid off at once. I'm not saying for the best for the people, but for them, it might have been better.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
But, you know, this is what I don't get. Mississippi, nobody gets any preference being a citizen of Mississippi on WMAs here.
No.
I don't know why, and I don't know of any preference in any other state for, you know, state-held lands like that. I've never seen preference like that.
I know a ton of people
that show up at our WMAs in Mississippi and drive back home because they didn't get thrown because 9 nutheads in front of them, you know, got thrown before them from out of state.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen the preference deal. And it might occur somewhere. I don't know. But I've never seen it. I don't know. It's an interesting way of going about it. A lot of people see it as a selfish way of going about it, and I don't think people are wrong in saying that. But no, there's no.
No, there's no preference here. In Mississippi.
No, there's not.
But anyway, all right, so you're going to Walmart and Piggly Wiggly and stock up on bread and milk, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're still under a freeze warning. So
I want to know the over under right now. I'm going to say it's about 10 group messages that you're in on right now, text messages. That you are warning your friends of the oncoming weather.
No, yeah, before this morning, yeah, that's probably a good number, 8, 10. But no, they want to laugh it off and you know, not take my weather talk serious. And then all of a sudden they see a little notification pop up. Boom, Josh left the group. And they're going, huh, wonder what that's about. And this morning, they're scratching their head. They're going, oh, he was on to something. So, you know, so it's their own fault. Yeah, you know, that's the way I kind of see it. You know, I can only do so much for the general public.
Oh, Shelby Anderson laughing about the snow. Hey, did you see Shelby Anderson's video that he
did? No, I hadn't seen that.
The migration report. He's rolling around in that snow out in Oklahoma.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. He's laying off in it. Yeah, I did.
You know, I told Shelby when he agreed to do these migration reports, I asked him, I said, listen, he said, any advice you can give me? I said, man, just make them eye-catching. And his first two have been phenomenal. I mean, they're getting watched a ton. A ton. I mean, the first one he did, you know, because Shelby's so short, he did up on the ladder. And he told the guy, he said, listen, don't go down low and show people that I'm standing on the ladder. I want to look tall. And the guy kept going down to his feet. He's like, I'm going to whip your... and then he laid down in that snow, and I think his butt went numb, and it was good. So,
yeah,
really good reports this year from the guys that's working on the migration reports.
Well, I'm looking forward to some Monday, Tuesday reports from residents and oozers next week. I'm looking forward to those.
I think a lot of ducks are gonna die.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
All right, well, Josh, we need to get to Bill. To get to him, like I said, we talk a little bit about the river, a little bit about opening day. I think it's something you'll enjoy as listeners of the podcast. But Josh, thank you again. But let's get to the interview with Bill now. All right, guys, like I told you on the front end of the podcast, Mr. Bill Cooksey is on the line with me. Bill, do you have that leg propped up?
No, the leg's hanging under the desk right now. But I am going to start, though. Last week I said it's always raining on our calls, but now we're under a threat of snow, so we have achieved change, if nothing else.
It's like somebody gave Mother Nature two shots of tequila last night, because it's been flurries here in Oxford this morning.
Wow. Yeah, that's just, it's crazy. We went from summer to winter. We didn't have much for fall, but kind of getting past summer and into winter, I was in the process of doing that myself when suddenly I had an issue with my leg. So I'm sitting here in a walking boot, fortunately in a walking boot and no surgery. So I'm going to be fine. But
so what happened? How did all this happen?
My wife and I were up at our place on Kentucky Lake. You know, did a little fishing, which it was poor, but we got out and we had some fun and obviously had some chores to do around the house. And one of the things was we have this little pond prowler boat. You know, I'm talking about the little molded plastic boats, like using small waters and all. And we'd kept that there for years. And if I wasn't there, my wife sometimes would get in it and go around to fish. And I hadn't used it in a long time, and we bought a pontoon boat last spring, and there wasn't room for it in the boathouse anymore, so we had moved it to the house. Well, we're never going to use it again. She had advertised it for sale, didn't sell up there. Of course, it's out of the way. So I was going to bring it home to Memphis, and I loaded it in my truck, and in the process of getting it strapped down, I had to, like, pull back on the boat. and relatively heavy. And I stressed a leg, my right leg. I just felt something in the back of it basically go pow. And that leg, I tore it up when I was 20 years old snow skiing. The only ligament I still had in that, the only ligament I have that is not artificially attached is my ACL. Everything else was reattached and cartilage redone. It was a mess. So my first thought was, I have blown out my PCL. That's where I felt the pressure. And so I was concerned, but it turns out I just tore calf muscle, and you know, I'll be wearing this boot until it gets to where I don't have to worry about retweaking it. But I can even get up at night without a boot on and kind of get to the restroom, that sort of thing. So it's not what had been a real concern is now just an inconvenience.
So you heard
frankly,
it.
I've been blessed. My health, I can't complain.
You said you heard it, but you didn't say anything about you felt it.
Oh, well, I felt the pop, I should say. I can still remember when I tore my knee up skiing. I feel like I heard it, but I know I didn't. It was like shuffling cards as everything popped loose. And this was that kind of a feeling, but it turns out nothing truly popped loose.
I'm going to play nurse here. On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad does it hurt? Or how bad did it hurt?
You know, at the time, it was more of a, everything in my leg felt warm, and I couldn't put weight on it. You know, it just felt like it couldn't do anything. Then as I got up and can start moving around, it was kind of a, it just depended on what I did as to how much it hurt. I could put pressure in some directions, no pain at all. Then I would try to take a step and flex my foot a different way, and it was excruciating. It felt like someone was driving a knife in. And that night, I was wearing, Justin work boots. That's what I wear all the time. That night, my wife was trying to help me take that boot off, and I felt like she was ripping the bottom of my leg off. I mean, it was awful. But then other times, I was able to sleep as long as it's propped up on a pillow and bent, no problems. And now it's, unless I can't walk normally even in the boot without it, having a shooting pain, but it's getting better. I can see by next week, probably no problem. But it was funny. I said, I'll be hunting opening weekend, and that was kind of bravado because if I'd had surgery and all that mess, who knows, but my wife was in there with the doctor, and she said, this fool thinks he's going hunting, this duck hunting this Saturday. And he's like, no reason he can't. So.
That's the question that was coming out of my mouth. What are the odds of you hunting this weekend? So I'm going to say it's 100% then.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, if I were in a place where you had to walk through a bunch of bad stuff, it'd be a no-go because I can't put on waders and walk on bad ground. But we have a spot where we plan to hunt anyway opening weekend where I can get on a four-wheeler and literally ride to the blind door and step, off the four-wheeler and into a nice, dry, elevated blind. So it'll be a non-issue.
What are the conditions like where you are? Man, I just keep hearing these reports out of Arkansas that I hadn't been over there. I hadn't been over there. It's been a month or two. But how much water is there?
Well, last time we talked about it some, weekend before last, I was over there brushing blinds and all, and there was water everywhere. And it seemed like every puddle had from 10 to 20 ducks. Every little flooded field had a flock of birds on it. I didn't see anywhere. One area near Fair Oaks that has always been kind of a private reserve, it had quite a number of birds on it. Otherwise, it was sheet water for days, the kind of thing you see in late December and January when we've had a lot of rain and all of a sudden there's just puddles there, and a quarter of that field's flooded. This ditch has gotten out, and that's the way it is before the season. I didn't go this past weekend, and I've actually seen more about it on Duck South than I have heard personally, because none of my guys went over for the weekend. But with the rain we've had, I don't see any reason why it's going to be more dry this weekend than it was 2 weeks ago. It's insane how much water we've had this time of the year.
You know, last week we spent a lot of time talking about what we talked about last week. We spent a lot of time talking about the Mississippi River. And right now the Mississippi River for this time of the year is pretty doggone high.
Yeah,
I know at Arkansas City, that's the one I keep up with. They're expecting it to go all the way up to about 30, which is really, really high. I mean, that's mm-hmm. January conditions. And I know we've said we've got a topic at hand that we're going to talk about today, but I think that for the people that hunt Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, I want them to understand something. And maybe you can delve into it just a little bit. The thing that I don't think that people that hunt this far south understand, a lot of people, is how much food is inside of those emergency levees. And when that water gets out of the natural banks of the Mississippi River, how much habitat it creates for ducks, and it's almost like a funnel inside of those levees. The number of ducks that stay concentrated right there on that river.
Right. Well, you can see it in micro in these smaller rivers. Birds follow freshwater, and when that Mississippi River jumps up, obviously, every inch it comes up, it just covers more new ground. New ground has the most available food, often the best cover. I mean, you're dealing with still hardwoods in a lot of parts of the Mississippi River bottom. Some places you have some ag in the levees. Some places it's just, natural growth. 3 years ago, I never left the state of Tennessee because the river was out, and I hunted the Mississippi River bottom all duck season. I didn't even go to Arkansas. And most of it was on public ground. I mean, there was no reason to leave. The water was there and the ducks were there. It's why we talked last week about the timber guys seeing a lot of benefit this year with water, and they will. And I like that. I want us to have, water on the public grounds, water in some of these bottoms. But as someone who has a place, that's mostly fields in Arkansas, I really don't want to see the White River get out and stay out. I don't want the Mississippi River to get out and stay out, because those two are giant sucking sounds. When they get out, that's where the birds go. And if you're going to, if you want to hunt around Wynn, Arkansas, you're probably SOL. I can remember having a great place not far from Wynn years ago, and man, we were smoking birds, and the white jumped out like on a Thursday, and I had invited some guys to come hunt with me that Saturday. We didn't see a duck that Saturday. I mean, they were gone. When the big river, whether it's the Mississippi or the White, when they start jumping, the habitat that immediately becomes available is it's what ducks have been doing for centuries, long before we mess with them.
Yep.
And if you read our articles, they talk about rafts of ducks floating down the Mississippi River, just sitting there, letting the river carry them down.
Democrat ducks.
Well, they still do it at night. Guys who hunt the river all the time will tell you about, going out at night and running through huge rafts of birds in the middle of the channel. I don't go onto that river in the dark. I wait till it starts getting light. But guys who do talk about big rafts of ducks.
Now, it seems like it's every year, and I hate to hear it, but I'm sure you probably read about the accident. Somebody was crossing the river down in South Louisiana this past weekend. That river, you know, for somebody that hadn't spent there, don't have a lot of years and wisdom about that Mississippi River. It's really not a place to cut your teeth. It's a dangerous deal.
It's a deal where when everything's fine, there's nothing to it. I mean, if you're in a, I've run a 1542 on it pretty regular. You feel that water moving you, though. I mean, you can feel it. The thing is, there's so many obstructions and so many things that can mess you up. And when it does, things can go bad fast, faster than you can react. And I've been right where that accident happened. I mean, I have literally been in that, probably within 20 feet of where it occurred. I haven't read the full account, but it's, you know, it's an area that several Duck South members hunt right there. And, you know, it's right, we've talked about Ryan Lambert and Cajun Fishing Adventures, and they guide fishing and duck hunts, and it's right there. I mean, it's a popular stretch, and it's a stretch that the time or two I've been there seemed real benign, but I wasn't there when the river was at this level. So be careful. I mean, don't get on a place you don't know until it's light.
You always hear about people talking about the how bad it gets when that wind turns out at the south.
Ooh, absolutely. I have more than once gotten to a landing to put in, and when the wind wasn't supposed to be out of the south, and it was, and turned around and left and went elsewhere. And I'm sure missed some great duck hunts because of it. That's happened mostly to me when we've had heavy cold that's frozen everything. I'm going to the river, and you get there, and it turns before it was supposed to, and that south wind starts kicking up, you know, 12, 15 hours before they had predicted. And it'll kill you. I mean, you have that current pushing against the wind, and even like on Kentucky Lake, when there's a little bit of current coming through Pickwick and Kentucky Lake dams, there it's a north wind because that river flows north in that area. And when that north wind is coming down the channel, it's a bear. And the Mississippi's that much worse because the current's worse, it's bigger, it's wide open. Then you get big barge wakes to complicate it, and you have big waves in irregular patterns coming at you from different directions. I don't want any part of it. And I've done some silly stuff to try to shoot a duck, but I don't want any part of that deal.
You just got just a few minutes left. I want to visit this topic just a minute. Duck hunting has been a huge part of your life, and we're going to jump back into your story next week. I've got a busy day. Bill's got a busy day, and we're trying to get this knocked out early in the morning. But so, like I said, we'll jump back into that story next week. I want to visit with you about this. Opening day. For something that's been a big part of your life, as duck hunting has, I don't want to make this sound awful, but how holy is that day to you? What is it like? And what is the most memorable opening day? As you look back over so many opening days, I'm not saying that you're old or anything, but which one sticks out in your mind the most?
Well, you're right, and I'm as excited about this one as I've been about any other opening day. But Oh, goodness. Aside from some as a kid, just because it's so always so special, you know, like any day for a kid, I believe it was 2000. It was the last opening day with both my father and our oldest son, Sam. Not that the day was good and the day was special like all opening days. I mean, we killed a limit of ducks, and that it was strange. We're hunting in a field, but that year we had 9 in the blind, and we killed a limit of wood ducks, and then our other ducks. There are just wood ducks everywhere. So the photo's kind of cool. If I can find it, I'll send you a copy. But it was the last opening day. Sam died the following summer, and then you know, my father passed about 6 years ago. But it was the last time I got to hunt on an opening day with both of them, so I kind of looked back on that one fondly. You know, then next in line, probably last year, with my son Bill. I mean, we hadn't gotten to hunt much the year before, and we really didn't get to hunt much last year with, you know, my wife had some issues with her ankle surgery and that sort of thing, so it cut into it. But we had a great opening day. Bill is not, he enjoys it when it's good, and when it's not, well, let's find something else to do, which is probably pretty sensible. He wasn't looking for anything else to do opening day. It was good enough to keep everyone interested. So those two, and it's because of the family I had with me that really made it.
Anticipation. Do you still have that anxiety build up, and then that just raw? I'll say this, and then what I'm trying to say is the anticipation to opening day, whether it's duck or turkey, to me almost get taken back to, you know, so many times as adults we forget what it's like to be a kid.
Yeah.
We forget. We turn Christmas into a hassle because we have to put things together because, you know, for Santa Claus, or we have to go shopping. But
right.
We would look at it from the kid perspective. You know, it would change our thought process. But talking about in the hunting perspective, I get taken back to when I was a kid.
Right.
That can't sleep. Just you're trying to get everything taken care of where you can go.
Well, that's true, and that's one of the things this boot's hurting is getting ready. But I look forward to it as I always have. I don't guess I have the trouble sleeping as much as I used to, but you do get so excited. Like if you're at camp, you tend to stay up too late. But by doing that, at least you go to sleep at some point. Rather than as a kid, you lay in, you know, you have to go to bed. Your parents make you on Christmas Eve go to bed. Well, then you just lay there and toss and turn because you weren't ready. So that's one place age has probably helped me, but you're absolutely right because we look forward to this all year. Was thinking about it all year. I mean, people are calling each other right now saying, what time are you heading over? You know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? But that's the way we used to be in November and December about our Christmas list. And so you're absolutely right. It's but most adults don't have something they treasure and look forward to the way we do our opening days. And I'm sad for people who don't really have that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Man, like I said, it just really takes me back. It's one of those moments that I feel like a kid again.
Yeah.
And maybe with not having my dad here, it... I don't know, so many fond memories of so much time spent in the woods with my dad growing up, and I can still see him acting like a kid the day before opening day.
Mm-hmm. It will here in Memphis. I've told people before, man, don't plan to unless you're a duck hunter, don't try to go to Arkansas this Friday, because from about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on, it will be a steady line of pickup trucks hauling either four wheelers or boats crossing that I-40 bridge. I'm serious. It's almost like these people who are approaching our borders in a caravan. That's kind of what it looks like, and it goes on until about 11 p.m. And then there's another one that starts about 3 a.m. And I've been in both. So, and I look forward to next week. Yeah, if I do Thanksgiving here and Friday morning get up to drive to Arkansas, I have to drive by the Wolf Chase Mall, and anyone from the Memphis area who's been around here knows what that is. And it's Black Friday.
Place in Memphis, right?
Yeah, and I drive by it at like 3:30 in the morning on Black Friday. I've done it so many times, and everyone's at these places in line to get in and shop. And you know, here I am driving to Arkansas to duck hunt, and I'm like, you people are insane. Yeah, looking at them at Best Buy, and there'll be 200 people lined up out the door, before 4 in the morning, just to get in and shop. And I think they're crazy, and I'm sure they're looking at this guy going duck hunting, if they actually knew what I was doing, and thinking, what a nut.
And you're looking at them and thinking, what a nut.
Exactly. I don't want to shop anytime, much less 4 in the morning. Yet we'll get up and hunt. Without thinking twice.
Well, Bill, I enjoyed it. I know you got to get to a meeting. Stay safe.
All right,
buddy. Let me get this out. Stay safe in this snow. Oh, man. Earliest snow I remember.
Yep, I think so. Good luck this weekend to all my Arkansas friends.
All right, Bill. Thank you again. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line Podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.